Welcome back, everybody, to the Lead Up Podcast, where we connect with dope and diverse leaders to learn more about their leadership journey so you can level up in your leadership. Hashtag Lead Up. As always, I want to give a special shout out to Darling New Media, Sacramento's premier podcast studios, here to tell your story. Make sure to check them out, darlingnewmedia.com, and connect with Nate. And of course, I can't forget about you, the listeners, the viewers. Thank you so much for tuning in. I love the feedback and the support that I've been getting these last couple months and years, just putting this together, bringing amazing guests. So make sure if you want to support, check out the anchor link below. Follow the Instagram page at Lead Up Podcast. But without further ado, I want to welcome our next guest for today, none other than Dr. Clarence Lee Jr. I want to give him just a quick bio description before we get into the questions here. But Dr. Clarence Lee Jr., aka the Persistence Coach, is the founder and CEO of the Persist Institute, a thriving business development coaching firm that helps entrepreneurs launch, grow, and scale their businesses online. He is a former flight surgeon and one of the USFA's most elite squadrons. Dr. Lee has a unique background in leadership, medicine, and operations. He is named one of the top healthcare entrepreneurs to know and recognize as a Black Enterprise Modern Man. And Dr. Lee holds degrees in medicine, MD specifically, and business MBA from Drexel University. So without further ado, welcome Dr. Clarence Lee to the Lead Up Podcast.
Thank you for having me, brother. Looking forward to adding some value today and hopefully a unique perspective for you, for your listeners.
Of course. And we want to give a special shout out to one of our recent guests, Khalif, who made the connection. So shout out to Khalif for making that happen. Really excited for today. But before we jump, I know I gave a little bio, but want to give maybe a little bit more context of who you are, where you're from. But who is Dr. Clarence Lee? A little bit about your story, your background, your upbringing. Tell us who you are.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'd probably say to understand me in a quick tidbits is to kind of know a little bit about how I was raised in my journey. So I'm from Kansas City, Missouri originally. Shout out to the Chiefs and Royals, Casey Mo, Kansas City, Missouri, not Kansas City, Kansas. So I tell people I'm from Kansas City. They go, "Oh, you're from Kansas?" No, I'm from Missouri. A little different. But so grew up in Kansas City, parents divorced when I was five, raised pretty much by my mom. Most of my upbringing life, moved around quite a bit through, marriages and divorces with my mom, different relationships, ended up going to a bunch of different schools growing up. Didn't really have a lot growing up. When my parents got divorced, we lost everything. And at times had apartments, didn't have much in, didn't have much furniture, lights, water off, just a crazy, interesting way to grow up. But I like to start there just so people know from a contextual standpoint, I've seen a wide variation in the quality of life. So I have an appreciation for small things in life because I didn't always have some of those small things. Fast forward, as a kid, I always had this, maybe I would call it a chip on my shoulder or a point kind of to prove that I could do something with myself. Being a Black male in the Midwest, in the South, that didn't have a lot of people that really thought or had high expectations for me outside of my family. So a lot of people in the community, as a Black male, you had a lot of stereotypes that were on you and expectations weren't necessarily for academic excellence, if you will. And so I always had this vision that I didn't want to be put in a box. I didn't want people to tell me what I could and couldn't do. I wanted to decide that for myself. So I always felt like I needed to prove myself. So that kind of went into academics, proving myself, being at the top of my class, going into sports, proving myself, basketball, went to play basketball in college, to going to the military, wanted to prove myself and doing really well there and being promoted and getting attached to one of the most elite squadrons. So it was just this kind of, I'm good enough, I'm good enough, I'm good enough. And that kind of drove me to do many, many things in my life. I married, have five kids, been going up on 10 years of marriage this year. Right now, I think probably after medical school, I started to have a shift in my priorities. Once I started to have kids and a family, I really began to think about, my leadership journey and how I was leading my family. And that shift in priorities really began to influence a lot of my decisions, jobs I take, how much I'm on the road, opportunities that I entertained, all of these things kind of shifted to make kind of my number one priority always be the priority. And so that kind of led me to go into entrepreneurship, want more control, authority in my life, make decisions, autonomy, things like that. So that led me to build businesses, build Exhort Health, which is my urgent care occ-med practice. And so that's where I'm at now. You know, for me, the biggest piece for me is leadership in my family, is really creating legacy and ownership and being able to pass things on to the next generation.
That's amazing. And one of the first things, you know, as I not only reading through your bios and looking through some of the videos that you've already put out in terms of your business and the things, the message that you're trying to share with people, is kind of like this first question, like, how do you create so much capacity, right, to do all the things that you want to do? I know for some people, they're just trying to get started on the first thing, but for others that maybe have started a business or, you know, they want to add to that, right? They're like thinking, wait, this guy got 5 kids, multiple businesses, right? And he's making time for a podcast. Like, how does he do it all? Like, what are you sharing or what are you doing exactly to create that capacity for yourself?
I'd probably say the most important thing is understanding your intention in your daily life. So for me, everything needs to be aligned and everything needs to be, there needs to be a very clear intention of how I'm using my time. And so for me, like I said, once I got into medicine and was hustling and kind of got my life out of balance, I really began to look at, hey, how can I use my life in a very intentional way? And for me, I feel most people, all of us are multi-talented. God gives us lots of gifts. There's a lot of ways that we can add value. And we're intended to add value in all of those ways. Many people say, oh, what do you do? Well, you really want to know what I do. So many times when people answer that question, what do I do? It's more their professional kind of title. Mm-hmm. For me, what do I do? It's really about my passion and intention. What do I feel like my purpose is on this earth? And that is what you see in all the things that I do. There's a common theme in all the things I do, and that is encouraging people. I'm an encourager. That's what I feel like I'm on this earth to do. So every role, every capacity, everything, I'm going to encourage people on this podcast right now. Everything is going to be aligned with what I feel like I'm here to do. And so I would say my first encouragement to someone that's trying to say, how do I build this capacity in my life? I would say, do one thing at a time, but don't only do one thing. Okay. So I did medical school. When I was in medical school, all I did was medical school. I was not writing books. I was not speaking. I was not building a business. I was in medical school. Well, after medical school, I said, well, hey, you know, I want to go to business school. Well, then I did business school.
Yeah.
Right. And then after that, I was like, I kind of want to build a business, you know? Yeah. So then I built my first business, you know? So it's really easy to see someone that has a lot going on once they have a lot going on, right? It's real easy to say, wow, they're doing all this, they're doing all this. Yes, but I did one thing at a time. I built the systems one thing at a time. So that would be my practical advice is you have all these things you want to do, even when I'm working with a coaching client. Everybody's got all these ideas. Most entrepreneurs have tons of ideas. Okay, cool. You want to do 50 things? No problem. We're going to make some progress. We're going to do 1, 2, 3, 4. We're going to get the 50 done, but we're going to do them one at a time.
That's awesome. And just to kind of get you on like this, the coaching kind of feel now, like for someone that is listening, they have that business idea, but they haven't taken that first step. What are you telling this person? Let's even backtrack to a little bit. Like, how do you define what a business is? Because I know even now today, you know, years ago, you know, I had this perception of what a business was. Like, I'm not a business person, I'm not a businessman. But nowadays, to the access that we have technology wise and the things that we can do, right, that exist today, there's so many things we can do at our disposal just from this thing right here, right?
Yes.
And so I'm curious again, maybe two-part question. how do you define a business? And then the second part is, how can folks take that first step to maybe launching or taking those steps for their business?
So I would just define a business as being able to add value. So something that is adding value in the world in exchange for a currency. Okay. So if you're not exchanging for currency, then I don't know if that's, I would call that a business. Okay. You need to be making money. It's got to make money. You need to have revenue. Adding value in exchange for a currency, I'd say that's the, what I would call a business. If you got a business, well, how much money are you making? What's the revenue? Okay. So those are the two things. How you adding value, how you making money. And the first thing I would do, so when I give advice, it's a lot really, when I coach, it's a lot from my experience. And so I say, what were some of the things that held me back when I first got started? Well, one of the things that held me back when I first got started was not making any offers. I wasn't offering. I wasn't making the offer. Okay. So my first thing I would encourage people, go try to make the offer now. Okay. Don't wait till you got the best website. Don't wait until you got this. Don't wait until you got that. There's always these reasons to delay, delay, delay. Well, what are you delaying for? Well, you're scared to make the offer. Okay. Well, go ahead and start making the offer right now. What are you offering? You want to do coaching? Okay. Let's start doing some, let's get some intake calls. Let's make some offers right now. Okay. What you want? You want to go, you want to do some speaking? You want to start speaking business? Okay. Let's go ahead and start getting some offers in right now so we can get it rolling. So that would be my advice and encouragement, is to go ahead and get started. Many people think they don't have enough. I need something else. I need more credentials. I need more time, better website, better headshot. Better. I mean, it doesn't stop. I have coached so many people. But, you know, one of the terms I like, and it used to be popular, I don't know, most people say it, but, you know, I want the folks that are about that action. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take some action. And you know, that's the best thing I can encourage somebody to do. Get started taking action and making offers today. Don't wait.
Yeah. Thank man. Make sure if you're listening, watching this, you're writing this down, replay this a couple times, right? Action. And speaking of business, I would love to talk more about your business, your Persist Institute.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, you know, how that came to be. What's the message? What are the services that you're trying to offer, right, to the world, right? With Persist Institute.
Yeah, so Persist Institute really came out of my central message in one of my books, my second book called Persist. So when I first went into my first business that I built was a speaking business. It was kind of packaging my message and selling my message or offering my message for a fee. And then from there, people start asking, you can only speak to a certain amount of people. How about you make a product, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe I can write a book. And as I spoke and I wrote more and more, I really started to hone in on my message. And that's one of the things a lot of speakers, or if you're an influencer, you over time, as you share and share, you're going to see a centralized theme that keeps coming out. And for me, it was a persistence. And so one of the stories I tell about my life is me having to apply to medical school for 5 years in a row, applying over 500 times, getting rejected from pretty much every medical school in the country for 4 years straight. And that's one of the things that I tell. And a lot of people were really interested in, wow, you know, how did you just keep going? And I'm like, okay, well, let me share these concepts. And so Persist Institute is really kind of my online mentoring, kind of mastermind coaching program that comes out of that. So this is me where I'm adding value via video to a group and teaching them really the concepts of persistence and how to build resilience in your life. So that's how, you know, Persist Institute was kind of birthed. It was me of, you know, identifying a new way to package my message and add value in a different form. And so, yeah, that's what Persist Institute is. It's kind of morphed over time now. Most of the coaching that I do now is with physicians, other physician entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. But Persist Institute is really for anyone that's really trying to build resilience in their life, overcome obstacles, and get tools in the tool belt to be able to keep going.
Amazing. And we'll make sure to link where people can find more information about that towards the end. But speaking, you know, about your business and what you're offering, you know, one thing I've learned about leadership, there's always so much to learn and grow still, right? as some might say, leaders are learners or readers, right? And so I'm curious to hear from you as you're coaching and offering to others, how do you continue to, you know, grow and take your kind of skill set to the next level? What are you doing to kind of get your game, you know, moving and keeping going?
I'd probably say the number one thing is that I have coaches. So I've got three coaches myself. So I got kind of a online coach that I work with. I've got like a marketing coach that helps me with marketing. I've got a fitness coach that I work with. For me, it's really about surrounding yourself with folks that have the expertise that you don't have, or maybe they're a little further ahead than you, and being willing to pay them for it. You know, and that's the thing is, as I have grown in business, as I have grown in influence and my platform has gone up and up, I have become more and more comfortable with paying to get in rooms. And so many times, and that could come in varying forms. Okay. Yeah. But leaders, I think, are also givers. And so leaders are usually some of the first ones to being willing to give. Sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's time. But one of the things I found about leadership and giving is that the people that give are leaders. So we're talking boards of nonprofits, supporting groups financially, you know, giving and when you're looking to level up and work with someone.
Yeah.
I think this is a massively underutilized approach in the world is getting that coaching or getting that support and being willing to invest in yourself. And the reason I bring that up so much and I talk about it so much is because we really understand it in the context of education. And many people are willing to put themselves in significant debt for an academic degree. With no guarantee that it can be monetized afterwards. And you're talking about a whole generations of people that have gone through to do that, versus working with a coach or finding somebody that has the specific expertise that you want with a clear understanding of how you're going to monetize that information. That is very different. And so what I'm talking about and what I do and what I encourage other people to do, find the people that have the results that you want and try to spend time with them and be willing to pay for it.
Man, you just brought up a topic that I'm extremely passionate about. That might just have to be a whole episode by itself, just because of my experience in higher education the last almost decade and just seeing the changes, as I mentioned, right? You know, things going virtual and the access that we have and how people, you know, have their own kind of institution when it comes to Google and YouTube,
yes,
right?
Like, absolutely. Like,
and so anyways, well, I could definitely talk about that a lot more, but I'll make sure to stay on track with these questions here. But when it comes to education, speaking of that, and I know persistence and, you know, one of the things that you want to help people is that they can be fulfilled, right, in their lives.
Yes.
What are kind of the key tips or key advice that you're giving to folks when it comes to persisting and being more fulfilled? Like, what are the kind of maybe common keys or tips that you're giving to these folks?
I think alignment is really the word I would use and the lens that I kind of communicate through. It's really about identifying your purpose or why you feel like you are on this earth. So I created a course called the Purpose Focus Formula Course, and that's really, it teaches people, here's a formula of how to find your purpose. Okay, I can't tell you exactly what your purpose is, but I can share with you a formula that will enlighten it, will illuminate something that is probably connected to your purpose. And so I think to be fulfilled, a person has to feel like they are doing work that matters, that they are using their life to make an impact. Many times, purpose and fulfillment is not solely rooted in goal attainment. And that is what I have found in my life. Yeah. You can be crushing your goals and still not feel fulfilled. Okay, I mean, killing your goals, hitting every one, and not feel fulfilled. And so for me in my life, fulfillment has been around service by using my gifts, my skills, and my talents. And so, you know, I think I would just encourage people to align their activities and have intention with their daily actions.
Mm.
Bring your purpose into intention in your daily actions and everything that you do. So in your roles, like I talked about earlier, in your roles, I wear a lot of hats. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a CEO, I'm a physician. Okay, all right, I wear all these hats. Okay, okay. What is my purpose? Why am I on this earth? Okay, I feel like God put me on this earth to encourage people. Okay, what role, what hat are you wearing right now, Clarence? Okay, mm-hmm. I'm wearing Dr. Lee's hat. Okay, Dr. Lee, how can you encourage this patient in this visit right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Clarence, what you wearing now? I got my daddy hat on, baby. Okay, you got your daddy hat on?
Yeah.
All right. You're about to go into the door after work. You're tired? Okay, get your mind right. How can you be intentional with the energy you're bringing into this house when you see your three-year-old running up? How can you be intentional and encourage this child, your child, when you see them in the door? Okay, let me get my mind right. Hey, buddy, good to see you, baby.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel fulfillment is really about bringing intention into every moment.
Yeah.
But you have to be cognizant and think about what you're doing in that moment and then be purposeful. Right. In your actions.
Yeah.
And if someone is able to do that the majority of the day, then they will feel fulfilled.
Wow. Amazing. And as you were talking about moments, it made me think about, I'm a big person when it comes to reflection, right? Reflecting on things that I've learned, things that I've experienced, right? All the good, bad in between. Yeah. I'm curious to learn from you or hear from you, just looking back, at your journey so far, what would you say has been like the biggest change in your own leadership or your own journey in terms of how you try to show up today? In your life for either your family, your clients, or just your community?
I think the biggest shift happened for me when I realized that I could not pass on the practice of medicine to my children.
Mm.
And it really had me to question so much work in one area that I wasn't able to pass on. And so now that shift to more of a legacy focus really affects how I show up and how I do what I do, because now I'm thinking, how is this going to affect my legacy? What is the legacy play here? Oh, this person might want to come and do some shady business with me. Okay, how is that going to affect my legacy, right? Oh, I might be able to make a quick buck right here, but what is the legacy that comes with that, right? Oh, I might be able to take this position and help this other company that I don't have any equity in flourish. What is the legacy there, you know? And so for me, in showing up, and with my intention, it's really about legacy now and being able to be cognizant of how my actions today are going to be passed on to the next generation. And that really starts first with my family, but then next to my community, my culture, my country. Right. So my motivations are, I won't say deep, but they're not superficial motivations, yeah. Right? And I feel like the deeper that my motivation is, the higher level the motivation is, right? The more confident I am in what I'm doing, right? Yeah. Because it's a high level intention or a high level consciousness that I'm aligned with. So when I'm saying it, I say it with a little more conviction. And when I'm doing it, even if it's a no that I have to say, because many times it comes with a no, many times I have to say no to things, but knowing why I'm saying no and why this opportunity isn't really aligned. Right. So I would probably say it's a long, long answer, but I'd probably say, yeah, it's really just the shift of not just personal attainment, achievement, but really kind of saying, okay, you know, what's the legacy play here?
Yeah. Wow. Incredible. And I love that you talked about legacy, because that's something even today, right now, as I get coaching from my own coach, that has come up more recently about me defining what that means for me, right? And making the alignment, right, with my decisions every day, which is hard. But as I've become more aware, right, it just shows up more of the things that I do, the things that I'm a part of, right, what I'm committing myself to. It just becomes a little bit more clear each day. And I'm okay with that, right? That progression of just seeing things a little bit more clearly, as you mentioned earlier. And on that note, before we move to the next segment, which is one of my favorite, the lightning round, I did want to make sure, what's like a practical, you know, gem? Again, you know, this legacy talk is so important, as I mentioned, personal to me, and as you were sharing it. What can you tell the community that's listening, watching? You know, a lot of them are young professionals, right? Some of them want to move up. They want to get to, whether it's climbing up the ladder, or even, again, as I mentioned, a lot of them being entrepreneurial, want to start their own business or endeavors. What practical gem are you sharing with these folks, just to kind of get them encouraged, inspired to kind of take that next leap?
Yeah, I would first start off by saying that vision that you have in your mind, no matter how big it is, no matter how impossible it may seem, no matter how improbable, not practical, whatever language that's attached to your dream that makes it seem far away, I will encourage people, that vision that you have in your brain is the intention for your life. It actually is the intention for your life. You may not have the A through Z steps on how you're going to get there, but let me tell you, I want to encourage you, what you see in your brain is the intention for your life. No question that. Full stop, no go. That is the intention for your life. Now, if we're on the same page there, I need you to be moving toward that a baby step every single day. Do not put it down. I don't care how much they're paying you. I don't care what promises. Every single day, I need you to make a step closer to that. So, you know, my encouragement would be just to believe in that vision. Believe in that vision. Everybody, and I like to explain it this way. If everybody had the exact world that they wanted, I mean, the exact house, the exact family, the exact grass texture and length. Let me tell you, I can tell you this with 1,000%. No one would have the same exact world. No one would. Because everybody's vision is different. So you can trust that your vision, and I'm Christian, I'm a believer, I got a faith. You can trust that vision was given to you from God. That's my belief, because it's so unique and so specific to you, right? Don't I heard a speaker talk about, you know, you're born an original, don't die a carbon copy or a duplicate, right? And so in today's world of looking around and the Instagrams and of the perfect moments,
right?
All the comparing that happens, you know, everybody has their journey. Your journey is going to be different than someone else's. But I'm here to tell you, if you dedicate your life to that vision in your brain, you will accomplish it in your time and on your journey. And that story is worth sharing, right? And it's going to be ups and downs. Nobody wants to watch a movie when the dude's winning all the time. No hard times. Everything's perfect. Excellent. Yeah. Like, oh, it was easy. Like, nobody would even want to watch your movie, right? Mm-hmm. So many times we get distracted in life when something doesn't go our way, or when there's a downturn, or when it's taking longer, or something isn't easy, right? Mm-hmm. This is when many of us get distracted from our vision. So, you know, now with the work that I do, Persist Institute, the books I write, encouraging, I really just want people to understand that vision in your mind is real. and we are intended to pursue that with our lives.
Incredible. Incredible. Thank you so much, Dr. Clarence Lee. Again, can you just share, you know, if people want to get in contact with you, learn more about the Persist Institute, how can they do that? Where can they find you?
Yeah, just my main website is clarenceleejr.com. And then I would say a great place to start is really just with the book Persist. So persistbook.com, persistbook.com is a great place for you to start, get the book, start, you know, downloading some of these, you know, mindsets that I'm kind of sharing with you. And then, you know, from that book, you'll be able to get access and get offers to join Persist Institute, to coaching, to my events and all those things. But really the foundation is persist the book. So persistbook.com is the best place.
Awesome. And I'll make sure to put those links in the show notes. But for now, we're going to get into the lightning round. These are questions that I did not share with you beforehand, but these are just top of the head questions that I'm just going to go down the list. Some of them are very fun. So no pressure here. And then we'll call it a day. So are you ready for the lightning round?
I am ready. Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Number one, texting, calling, or I put this in, or FaceTime.
Ooh, I go with that FaceTime, man.
Okay, I had a feeling. That's why I put it in parentheses. I'm like, I feel like he's a FaceTime guy. Okay. All right, here we go. Number two, best travel destination you've been on.
Ooh, the best. I'd probably say a little country in the Mediterranean called Cyprus. It was probably the best place that I have visited. Beautiful place.
Cyprus. Got it. Favorite dessert?
First thing popped up was creme brulee, but yeah, I'm going to go with the creme brulee.
Creme brulee. Morning person or night owl?
Morning all day long. Don't even have to think about that one. I go to bed at 8:30, man. My 3-year-old going to sleep. I'm right behind him. I can't do it.
Artist or song that is currently on repeat?
What did I have on repeat? Now I'm thinking of the song right now. Oh my gosh. Is it good? I listen to a lot of hip hop and I think it's Gunna. Hold on.
Okay, get some Gunna. Okay.
There's a Gunna song that I've been listening to. But that I like. But yeah, I've got one of his songs on repeat right now.
Okay. And going on the same thread of music, if you had to do one karaoke song to save your life, it would be what? This is for your life, Dr. Clarence.
Oh man. You know. Oh, there is so many. There's so many good songs.
The first one
that came up was Ambition. It's a I think it's Wale, Meek Mill's.
Okay, yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
I think it's called Ambition, but that song, yeah, I like that song.
Okay, I got a few more here. Next one is a pet peeve of yours.
Oh God, pet peeves. Messiness, like stuff being out of place. Yeah, that's a big, it just gets under my skin. My kids don't like that. Like,
oh, yeah. I automatically thought about your kids. I'm like, yeah, 5 kids. Yeah, messiness. That's going to be a problem.
One room where it's allowed. That's the playroom. But anyway, go.
Yeah, sorry. Something that most people wouldn't know about you.
I would probably say that, I have to encourage myself. Most people, they would not probably know that the encouragers need encouragement. So yeah, that's probably one thing most people don't know about me. I got to encourage myself.
Worst nickname given to you?
Oof.
If you can share.
I'd say worst, but it was just, I can't say. I guess I can say. Worst. Oh, God. I'll probably say the most hurtful one.
Okay, let's hear it.
Most hurtful one when I was growing up in the Black community, I'm obviously, you can see my skin is a little on the light side. I was called white boy growing up in the Black neighborhood. I was white
okay.
boy. And it's not that there's something wrong with white boy. It was just like, man, like that, that was like,
that hurts.
That was the jab.
That hurts. That was yours. All right, last two here. Biggest lesson you've learned so far in 2022?
It would probably be definitely a business lesson. And I've learned so many. So let me think of the biggest one. I'd probably say the biggest lesson is that you, as a leader, CEO or founder, you have to be the biggest believer in what you're trying to do. You cannot expect anyone else to believe more than you.
All right, last one here to close us out. This is a finish the statement. Every leader needs what?
I would say every leader needs encouragement. Every leader needs encouragement. And I say that for a bunch of reasons, but many times when you're out front and folks look to you for that energy and that expectation, you know, leaders, even though they're out front and they're leading and they're expected to bring it, I have found with working with my clientele and folk that I work with and I coach with, that some of the most highest level leaders also need encouragement.
Awesome. You heard it here. Leaders need encouragement. Dr. Clarence Lee, thank you so much for all your time, your wisdom. Greatly appreciate you. But again, we'll catch you all on the next episode of the Lead Up Podcast. Peace.